This spinoff of my Taking Back Birth podcast is called Walk and Talk. It was about time that me, Marin, and Indie Birth co-founder Margot got together in an informal, regular, talk show type format to talk about whatever's on our minds. We'll talk about the ideas and topics that bring us together as midwives, women, and best friends. Stay tuned as we literally walk and talk about whatever comes up for us in this episode. We welcome your ideas or suggestions too, so be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and let us know what subjects you want to hear.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing well. I'm more dressed for the weather today than I was previously.
Awesome. Well, so, I'm dealing with a dog that keeps coming out of his collar, but I'll do my best.
Oh boy, which one is that?
Basil. He's got like a loose collar on and he just keeps squirming out of it. I don't know why.
Oh, Basil. So today we said we were going to talk about this really fun new project that we are endeavoring onto.
Yeah.
And we really were waiting, I feel like, till we got a name we liked. Like, we've been talking about it for so many months.
Right.
How to structure some sort of free prenatal care or just, like, free midwifery care in our communities to help, like, educate people about what midwifery is, but we'll talk more about that. So what's the name we came up with?
I was just reflecting on how much I love the name that you came up with, so you should say it.
Oh, well, so we're calling it Midwifery for the People, which is something that I mean, we have talked about for a few years, even like structuring some other stuff around that name, or I had thought of it a few years ago when I was trying to figure out a practice name for myself. But, yeah, so we...
With a direct nod to Medicine for the People, for those that are not in the loop, you have to go find Medicine for the People and get familiar with their amazing music, but that is kind of what we're referencing there.
Indeed.
And it's just a really cool name, I guess, even if you didn't know about Medicine for the People.
Indeed. Yeah. So, we were trying to figure out what our next steps were after doing these free workshops for our communities, and those are cool, and I'm planning to keep doing them perhaps on a more limited basis here.
Right.
But
me too. I kind of have it staggered at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's some other models out there. You know, when you threw it out on Facebook at one point, and people were like, oh, Sister Morningstar's stuff is like this, which is half true. And it was something that we knew about before people mentioned it, but that's really the only other model that gets brought up.
Well, and that's, she's called those, what, village prenatals?
Prenatals, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I don't know tons. I remember seeing a little bit online, but what's the gist of that makes it, you know, when we compare what we're doing, what is she doing exactly?
You know, it sounds like it's really specific to the community that she was working in, but not that it can't be extrapolated out, but, you know, the idea that you do, like, these circles with pregnant women, which you've been doing already, you know, like, more consistently than I have, and, you know, just attuning to, like, the emotional and spiritual stuff, and... It sounds really great. It sounds like it worked really well for the sort of little community that she primarily worked with, where she lived.
And was that, okay, it's coming back to me now. Was
it
like
an individual? Yeah,
group prenatal care.
Yeah.
So they were doing like maybe blood pressure readings on each other kind of thing?
I don't know if they were even doing any of like the more clinical stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong. So look up her stuff. It's great. But we were trying to figure out, like, what would work in our communities because we don't already have, like, preformed, tight-knit women's circles necessarily.
Right.
And, you know, we've been doing these workshops and we've been offering pregnancy circles. Yours have been more successful than mine have been, right, Marin?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm busy, and like here it's either like feast or famine kind of feeling, but over the summer I was really busy and had like 2 to 3 people per month, so it was really easy to pull together a monthly pregnant mama circle, and I would feed them dinner and we'd have a topic, and you know, it was really loose and not a formal presentation. It was just a way of like getting women together. So I think that's more like
what the Sister Morningstar model, that's probably closer to that than our new thing we're doing.
Well, but the, you know, and I think this is maybe obvious or maybe not, like, the pregnant circles I was having were only for the women that I was seeing. Like, they weren't open to the public. So this new idea was like, how do we get more people involved? How do we open these ideas up to more women?
Right.
And like, what does that model look like? Because, you know, in this community, I think the reason I didn't want to go that route was if you don't know people or they don't know you, like, honestly, coming over for dinner is like a little much. It's like a little threatening.
Well, and that's what I found, because mine were open.
I
did them every month, July through November.
Yeah.
And had a different topic and had a public Facebook event. And even a lot of my own clients weren't coming.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And I don't know why that is. But so, yeah, I felt like I needed to really figure out a new direction. And so do you want to talk about, like, what our current model is? I mean, you and I are doing it a little differently, but you had your first one yesterday.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about it. And of course, I want to say too that, you know, it's all an experiment. Like, it's all just trying stuff and seeing what works and, you know, sticking with something long enough to see if it works, because 1 month, like anything, you'll have people, the next month you won't. So I'm in full experimental mode. I'm not necessarily like committed to the way it went yesterday. But before I talk about like how it actually went, I think there are some key things that I was, or am still thinking about and kind of concerned about, which is, you know, how do we offer women a peek at individualized care when they have no reference point for that?
Yep.
Like, that alone is a huge topic. Like, they don't even know it's a thing, so how does it become a thing? And how does a one-on-one appointment, you know, not feel super weird or threatening to people that it's a new idea for? So that was one thing I was thinking about. And yeah, also, I guess just all the variation with educational topics and all the variation, just kind of having women come in sort of off the street, you know, not knowing them, when midwifery care is based on a relationship. So, you know, trying your best to kind of like figure out how that looks if you only literally see someone for 45 minutes. But in the end, I guess we're agreeing that it's just getting this model out to more people to experience and see what they think about.
Right.
Because even the women here that are going to a birth center, for example, you know, we know that they're seeing midwives, but they're not really getting the kind of unique care that we believe in. So it's kind of this wide range of women that it's appropriate for. Anyway, so all of these thoughts, you know, have been going through my head and your head as we're trying to figure out how to do it. So my experimental method thus far was to just set up a day. So that was yesterday. And I only had spots for like 4 appointments. So I set them up. I set up a page where I explained, and it's on IndieBirth. It's indiebirth.com/MFP for midwifery for the people. And you can read what I wrote there, just explaining what kind of midwifery care like this looks like, how it compares to more traditional medicalized prenatal care, and some testimonials from clients, just, you know, what it felt like for them, what it looked like for them, and then a sign-up page for people to reserve an appointment. And I had yesterday, and I have the next couple of months set up, so just one Saturday per month, and they can sign up for 45-minute appointments. I tried to give some direction on the page, just like we could you know, we could talk about this kind of stuff. We can do clinical things if you'd like. We can talk about testing options. I'm even open to preconception appointments if that's something someone wants to do, although I should probably add that to the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you go. So, you know, setting it up with an online calendar, having people, you know, putting it on Facebook, advertising it on Facebook, encouraging people to share, and just seeing what happens. So,
yeah.
You know, I didn't have super high expectations for this first month. And really, I'm trying to not have super high expectations for probably the first 4 to 6 months. I think it's something that has to stay around long enough for people to know that it's happening and to tell their friends about. I'm saying this for myself, I want the patients to stick with it long enough to see, like, how it unfolds.
Yeah.
Because 1 month certainly isn't enough. But I did have 3 people yesterday come, and they were all really lovely, different stages of pregnancy. One of them probably will actually hire me, which was fun just to see that, like, that was enough of a, you know, enough of a initiation into this kind of care for this particular woman to be like,
well,
oh,
right,
I'm not getting that. What is going on here?
And that's the, like, that's the most selfish reason for doing these, right? Like,
sure.
But it's a good thing. Like, it's a, I thought that so many times that in an interview with someone, like, if I could just sit you down and have a real prenatal, like, that is worth so much more than blabbing at you about what prenatals are like.
Sure.
Me.
Sure. And you say it's selfish, but yeah, I mean,
in a good way.
Yeah, in the best way, because on an energetic level, you know, I'm giving, like, I'm wholeheartedly, sincerely, 100% giving to this community and to these women. And, you know, like, I believe that's what you get back. Like, I'm not, you know, out there trying to steal people from other midwives. And, like, it sounds silly, but that's
happening.
You're
trying to get people the right, like, the right matches.
Sure.
It's the same as
sure. And like anything, you know, this wasn't even, you know, it's not like you're convincing people. You're just showing them what's possible for themselves. And this was a woman, you know, this one in particular had already had a baby at home a couple years ago. And really, like, she desired the next level, like, for herself. So, you know, it was totally divine that she showed up and that she's ready to accept the responsibility. And anyway, it was a great example of, reaching someone that was ready to, you know, do something else. But, I don't know that that's even the ultimate point. That's just kind of like a nice bonus to meet people like that.
Well, that's like one sort of person that I feel like I don't know, when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking I want people to take advantage of this who are that person. Like, they're, you know, maybe wanting to have a home birth and, you know, maybe haven't scheduled something with a midwife yet or whatever, want to check out what midwifery care is about. And it's perfect for them, like, yes. And then there's, like, other types of people, which maybe we can talk about, too, that I feel like would be really, would benefit from this as well. But who else did you see yesterday?
Let's see. I saw another woman who was, well, the woman I was just referencing is close to being due, so it was fun to feel her belly and sort of show her slash teach her what was going on. She was really excited about that. She's been seeing a midwife who just, you know, plunks a Doppler on and says, we can't feel position till 36 weeks. So this woman had no idea, like, what was going on with her baby or if the baby was even head down or anything. So she was really into, she was really into, like, learning. And she heard with the fetoscope for the first time and, like, cried. I mean, she's, like, 31 weeks. So that was just really beautiful. But anyway, other than that, an earlier pregnant woman who mostly wanted to, you know, talk about some prenatal topics like blood work and nutrition. So I had some nutrition handouts ready to go because I've found and you found that that's usually like the topic, you know,
right?
Unless somebody is like close to having a baby. There's no reason to not do that. And I feel like people that are going to get care elsewhere, or whatever their situation is, they can always benefit from getting a nutrition, you know, mini presentation and some handouts.
Yeah.
So that's mostly what we did. And I did get to feel her earlier pregnant belly, and she was really gracious. I asked if I could take a video or two, not for public use, but for use in our midwifery school, since I'm teaching prenatal care this quarter. And she was really, really open and excited about letting student midwives learn through her. And so we even got a little short Doppler video, because that's something she wanted to do. So yeah, all in all, you know, as someone that hadn't been for care yet anywhere else, I don't really know what her ultimate plan is, but it was just a nice like check-in and, you know, addressing some of the things that were on her mind, which is, you know, that feels good too in a way, just like, okay, what do you need? And then you're on your way kind of
thing. Well, and that's, you know, that's what I had the most excitement about, I guess. And I'm structuring it a little bit differently for now, at least. Partially because I'm going to be in Arizona, which is so exciting. And
we'll get to do one together here, maybe.
Yay! I'm so excited.
That'd be awesome.
So what I'm doing is I scheduled my 4 dates for the year.
Nice.
And they're in September and December, so, you know, around, like, the equinox and solstice, and I'm setting it up for, like, a full day, like, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Wow, yeah.
Which is just, like, it's funny, because that's just totally more my personality, like, I wanted to, like, do it all day.
Well, I just can't with Deva. That was my reasoning. Like, with a D, I need it. Anyway, I think that's great, though.
Yeah, and I'm super excited. So I have all these slots open, same thing, 45-minute appointments, which, you know, I'll be sure to tell people, like, is not typical. Like, I usually see people for an hour and a half. And, yeah, I made it really clear on my page, if people want to check it out, it's almost the exact same, though. It's duluthmidwife.com/midwifery-for-the-people, all lowercase. Yeah, I made it really clear that it could be preconception, prenatal, or postpartum. So my thought was, okay, like, I've run into a lot of women here who are maybe, like, crunchy. Like, they're in this, like, in-between area. They're still wanting to have a hospital birth for whatever reason. But they also really value midwifery care and are excited about it. And
That's such an interesting combination. I can't say I understand, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it is that the hospitals here are objectively better than in Arizona. Like,
well, good news, I guess.
You know, like, when I think of having another baby, like, if I really had something go wrong and had to go, like, I just remember that feeling of, like, sheer terror with Celosia at the thought of going to the hospital, like, oh, fuck, like, they're just going to cut me open. Like, oh, God.
Right. Okay. Well, and that's true, probably.
And it's totally true, and it was so scary. But when I think of it happening here, if I had to go into, you know, especially the one hospital I'm more familiar with, like, I know they would be nice to me. And so I kind of get it. I mean, I still obviously think they should have their babies at home, but whatever. So anyways, yeah, like, those people have even, like, publicly supported me or come to my workshops, or, like, they share my stuff on Facebook. And, you know, there was one woman I can think of who asked me, like, hey, can you feel my baby? Because, you know, my doctor doesn't do that, but I'm curious what position the baby's in. So, you know, that would have been the perfect use of that.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, or I just did a consult the other day for someone who's like, I'm not sure if I want to have a hospital birth or home birth. She's not even pregnant yet. So that would have been the perfect use of this too. So my hope is that by offering it 4 times a year, that people can, if they wanted to, see me like two or three times during pregnancy and once after.
Right.
And you know, really get that experience if they really still want to stay in the system, or that those experiences will be enough to help them learn that they actually want to stay home, or, you know, any combination of those things. So, yeah. And right. I thought, like, how do I make sure my clients don't feel like they're getting ripped off since they're paying me for appointments? So, you know, that's where I came up with the idea of, like, okay, I'll do it 4 times a year.
Right. But, yeah, I thought about that last night as far as how to handle or not handle, I guess, perhaps, somebody that wants to take advantage of free care every month, you know, like,
right.
I'm not quite sure that I'll do that,
right.
Unless I really have room. My goal would be just to give a lot more people a taste rather than giving someone consistent free care. That's not exactly what this is set up for.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, I don't know that that's even a thing or something people would take advantage of. And I thought about my clients too, but I don't think that anybody is going to care because they get way more attention from me.
Totally.
Like, you know,
totally
hours
different.
And hours and yeah.
And in between I mean, and yeah.
Right. And availability. Yeah. Yeah, the other thing we did, so Valerie, one of our midwifery students, came to help yesterday, and that was really fun. I did ask all of the moms, we have 3 in total, if Valerie could, you know, feel as well when I was done, and they were all very gracious and into that. So it was a really, I think, a really good growing way to get students more prenatal, like, hands-on practice.
Totally.
So, you know, no, people don't have to agree to that, but everybody was really sweet. And Valerie very sweetly brought, like, a lot of fun samples, and I had chocolate and some pregnancy tea. So everybody left with, like, a really nice amount of free fun stuff, which, you know, obviously, yeah, like, I think it just contributes to this idea, which I know we both believe in, which is, you know, you're important. Like, this is your pregnancy. You are the queen.
Yeah.
And the focus is on you. And the one lady really left with, like, tears in her eyes with,
aww,
you know, all the fun swag we had given her. She was just like, oh, my gosh, like, I feel so cared about. And it's like,
yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yeah, no, I keep thinking of it, too. Like, the words that I think of are, like, how can we, like, pour more love into people and, like, into the community? And it makes such a huge difference, like, yeah, the woman I sat with the other day talking about preconception stuff, like, I could tell this was maybe the first time someone had actually listened to her story and, like, actually cared and asked questions and was interested and engaged and even apologized. She's like, sorry for talking your ear off. And, like, I'm like, no, no. And it's funny, I used the same words to her the other day that I don't feel like we've used before. So it's totally synchronistic. I told her when we were talking about the possibility of a home birth, I was like, it's like you're the queen for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, you should be the queen every day at your house, but you know what I mean? Like, cause she's like, oh, I feel bad if somebody cleaned blood out of my carpet. And I was like, no. You're the queen for the day. You don't worry about such things. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I know. I think with this new year for me, even just personally, like, that focus has really increased. Like, just on women as these amazing, powerful creatures. And, you know, as fellow women, like, we can support that and we can change the world because every powerful woman is, like, times 10 what she was.
Yeah.
Or we all know, like, women and midwives and whatever, we have the potential to, like, shoot each other down and shortchange each other and, you know, criticize choices. And if all we really did with these clinics was to love the women that came through in all the ways, like, that alone would be a contribution to the world, you know, birth aside. So, pretty
simple. I think the one-on-one component is so important for that reason. Like, I love the group stuff. I love a good woman circle. You know, I'm into it. But
it's different.
There's something that can't be replicated when, about the sitting just with someone who just wants to hear you and just wants to listen and just wants to hear your story. And I feel like we're going to probably see more people, and I think we should keep doing both, but I feel like there's a lot more people who would come to a one-on-one thing, because that also is just, like, the model that they're used to.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see how it grows, and I'm really excited, and people in my community seem really excited. We'll see if anyone signs up. But.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think it's an experiment. It's a long-term experiment. You know, I don't know either. Like right now, no one signed up for next month, but it's a whole month away. I just want to keep learning from it. I want to keep involving students if I can and feel like that part is being taken care of. I think the future really is like woman to woman care.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's missing. I mean, in my class coming up tomorrow, with the students, which is Wise Woman Prenatal Care, like that's what we're spending the first week on before we really get into actual prenatal care. It's just like, why isn't the mainstream model working? You know, like I think we have to understand that. And of course, there's many reasons why it's not working, but really it's just because the individualized care and the woman-to-woman care is not in place.
Right. Yeah, so. That's fascinating. That just makes me think to someone that I know, a friend of mine, is a labor and delivery nurse actually locally here, and she said that their C-section rate went down from like 34% to 23%.
Uh-huh.
Which is, you know, pretty decent. That's a nice change. It's a good direction they're going in.
Right.
And I said, I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but essentially through talking about that, we wound up at I asked how many of the OBs currently are men, because I didn't know, and she said none of them. The last one had left.
Oh, wow.
Like, a year or two ago. And I was like, oh, well, go figure. Like, you know, they still could be doing way better, but, you know, even just that, like, woman-to-woman energy is just so different. So it's fascinating that, you know, we'll probably see shifts even like that.
Yeah, for sure, and I think that proves that there's all kinds of like variations on this theme.
Right.
I still think our theme is fairly unique. I mean, not that, you know, not that this care is unique, but I don't see a lot of people doing it. And I've been like, really pondering what people are talking about. Like I've said it a couple times on Facebook and there's like, feels like tons of people and a lot of the midwives being like, oh yeah, done that. And I'm like, really? What, like where, what are you, what happened?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Why is, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess older midwives too. It's like, oh, that's not a new idea. Like we've always, oh, but really, where is this happening? Like I'm not hearing about it. Not to say that's not happening, but I'd love to hear about it. And one person that commented yesterday, I was like, tell me more. Like, what did that look like for you? And how did that go? So I really, yeah, I'd love to know more from midwives that are doing this. And maybe we could all use each other's best ideas.
Totally. Cool. Anything else you want to talk about today?
I don't think, other than I think with this idea, just stay tuned if you're interested in maybe setting one up in your community. I think Margot and I are invested in the big picture and willing to share our ideas or maybe even just like a set of handouts or a way for you to feel like this can happen where you are without as much effort, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of doing the experiment. Of course, every community is unique in its own way, but I think in the future, right, this is something we're interested in just kind of like putting together for other people to use so that we can, you know, make it simpler for people that are like, oh, I just don't have time to, like, get that all together. It's like, oh, well, we'll get it together here.
There you go. Yeah, I am planning on spending some time putting together a packet and just picking out my favorite resources for, like, the things that most commonly will get brought up. And
I was purposely not as organized about that yesterday just because I knew I had a couple people and I had, you know, the nutrition stuff, but I agree. I think my goal is to get a little bit more organized so that people that come in too that really don't know what this is about don't feel intimidated or as overwhelmed. So maybe there's even like a topic list for them to choose from, since they're not really used to anyone caring about what they want to talk about.
Right.
That kind of thing.
And, yeah.
Oh, I did. Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead. I did use a fun handout that you made a bunch of years ago, just for the mom to take with her, just like whatever we had discovered uh-huh. clinically. So a little belly mapping thing for her to write down where we heard the heartbeat and, you know, just for her own records, like a way of taking home whatever was gained
yeah.
on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, my lazy part of my brain thinks, like, oh, we should give them the prenatal book or, like, should just blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, you know, and this is, like, the other target audience that I guess we didn't talk about is, you know, there's a lot of women here who, you know, likely, truthfully cannot afford my care, although, or they think that that's true, even though I would work with them, obviously,
right.
on figuring that out.
Right.
And maybe women who don't have Minnesota, it seems like everyone and their mom is on state insurance. Like,
right.
It's really easy to get on. The limit's pretty high for what you can make. And, you know, same as in Arizona, people are like, oh, I'm on medical assistance. Like, yeah, you and everyone else. And me.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, just like women that either truly can't afford it, think they can't afford it, or, you know, down by you, maybe women who feel unsafe going to get
right.
care, maybe they're undocumented or whatever it looks like.
Right, right. That is something I wanted to talk about, actually, but go ahead.
Yeah, just I foresee this being hopefully a safe place for people in any of those categories as well. Where they can, you know, get the care that I think everyone deserves. And obviously more marginalized people are less likely to get it. So.
Right. Right. And that, yeah. I mean, that's something I still need to think more about and try some different things, because I think it's reaching those people to get them to the free clinic. Because to me, like, there's no expectation. Like, it seriously is free. Like, I don't want anything from them.
Right.
I don't want them to feel like I'm trying to get them to hire me. Like, it's truly
right.
free. But if someone sits there and they're like, hey, this is interesting, but, like, I don't have the money to do this, I think I've been saying the same thing for 15 years. Like, what matters most to me is that this is what you need to do. Like, if this
right.
is truly what you need to do, then we will find a way for you to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't say that from, like, miles away. Someone has to, like,
right.
be sitting there and be, yeah, like, they have to experience
engaged.
It. But still,
yeah.
right, still reaching those people when they're not part of maybe the demographic you see on any given day is something that, like, I feel a little clueless about, you know?
Yeah.
And I would like to get help with or, like, could be better at. You know, someone said on my Facebook post, and, you know, it really wasn't something I had thought about, which is kind of what you referenced, which is making it clear that, you know, we're not mandatory reporters.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, all the licensed midwives are. So don't admit to a licensed midwife that, you know, you use
mm-hmm.
marijuana for morning sickness or, you know, whatever it is, because that is not really a safe space to make yourself so vulnerable.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah
you know, how do
yeah.
you say that in a way that isn't weird? I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. I've been trying so far unsuccessfully to, you know, because of the holidays and stuff, just trying to connect with the health committee of the local NAACP. Because we have a, you know, relatively large, at least according to, like, larger than anywhere I've lived before, a large population of Black people, Black women.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they, obviously, we have a lot of discussions happening in the midwifery world, or, you know, hopefully are having more discussions in the midwifery world about the way that that looks and how the maternal and neonatal mortality statistics are just terrible for
right.
Black women as a group. And we have 6 midwives, seven midwives here right now, and all of us, I believe, identify as white. And, you know, there's no black doulas. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of work to be done here, and I'm hoping to connect more with them, and especially around this free clinic, you know, if there are black women that want to take advantage of this sort of care, since I know they really need it. And I'm hoping that through making those connections, I'll be able to help just encourage or support somebody, a local black woman who wants to be a midwife, because we need one pretty badly here too. So that's another down the road.
Yeah.
Support the group. Yeah. There's a group now working in the cities around some of these issues that's brand new. They're just starting up. I just saw it this week, so I told them to message me, and they're going to get in touch too. But yeah, there's so many different components to the work we're doing and trying to do better at. So
yeah, so many levels and layers.
Indeed,
that's the truth.
Cool. Well, till next time.
Till next time.
All right. One of these days we'll have to do a walk and talk where we're both walking and talking together at the same time. How's that going to work?
I don't know, actually. I don't know how that'll work. Maybe we'll have to find some other fun creative projects while you're here.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Any other
All right, stuff? Everybody. I mean, we can always do one last call for this retreat we're doing in May. People might want to not keep listening through if we're going to say the same thing, but different people listen every week. So indiebirthconference.com. We have an amazing retreat. Like, all of this love that we're pouring into prenatal care clinics here, it's a lot of the same love that we are pouring into this retreat, so that you feel loved and you feel connected in a similar way. Yeah, it's kind of the same theme everywhere. Like, how can women be stronger together? And that is, you know, a huge part of putting together this fun event. So check out the details. We're still doing payment plans, I think. And the event is in May 2018.
All right.
All right. See ya, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.